We look to the end of Genesis 28, starting in verse 10. Pick up our reading where we left off last Lord's Day, Genesis 28, verse 10. And we'll read to the end of the chapter, verse 28. Hear now the word of our God. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Then he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I surely will give a tenth to you. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Merciful God, help us as we turn our hearts to you to hear what you will speak. For you speak peace, you speak wonders, you speak things of delight concerning our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray. Amen. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the last time we left off, Isaac had sent Jacob alone. He blessed him, and he sent him off alone. In fact, when he blessed him, he used the name El Shaddai, God Almighty. So he blessed him with the powerful name of God because he was going into the unknown. Isaac had never been there, and this is where Jacob was going. Yet, in the rest of this chapter 28, Jacob has received so far, the day's journey so far, safe traveling mercies. Will this last? Will these safe traveling mercies last? The answer is yes. And we understand here that Jacob leaves home blessed and alone just to stumble upon the place, the house of God, where he sees the stairway to heaven. That's our theme. Jacob has made it to the place where he is ready to sleep, verse 10. So he spends the night under the stars that God has already used for Abraham to say, this is as, you can't count them, this is how your descendants are going to be. He's going to use dust in this passage. And so we see here that this is a covenant passage. He falls asleep in this place, in that place, a certain place, just to have a dream. And we learn now in our passage that Jacob left home blessed and alone just to stumble upon this place, the house of God, where he will see the stairway to heaven, the way to heaven. In 10 and 12, we turn to these three verses. There are two key and important points here to consider. First, the place where Jacob lays his head. And second, the stairway that he sees in his dream. And let's consider those two things. Let's begin with the certain place. Verse 10 says, Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. as we take notice there that Jacob indeed has left his father's tent. He's left his home with absolutely nothing, which is one of the reasons why he's using a rock for a pillow. He's got absolutely nothing, and he's heading into the unknown. He's heading for Haran, the land of his uncle. Verse 11, he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. Just looking at this verse, there is a word that appears six times in our passage. The word is place. Just in this verse alone, it appears three times. Three times. This could be, it is simple and complex all at the same time, just this one word, place. Because on the one hand, Jacob traveled as far as he could and he reached a certain place to stop for the night. That's simple. That's pretty easy. On the other hand, this is not just an ordinary place. This is not just some simple lodging for the night. In the first place, look at this, in the first place in our passage, he simply spent the night. Then he took a stone from that place, that's location here, to use as a pillow, and he lay down in that place, lodging again for the night. So far, the place is generic, ordinary. This will not last long. It won't last long. And as we begin to develop where Jacob has stumbled upon, we must first recognize the city nearby, for it is not an isolated place. Verse 19 tells you that the city nearby was called Luz. Luz would have had a wall. And in ancient times, the way that they built walls, the way that they developed it, was by walking around, and in any stone they could find, they would pick up and carry and start building these walls. These walls would be the first line of defense. And so the stones that they did not use are actually the stones that the builders rejected. That's this stone. A stone not used in the wall stone. Therefore, understand this stone that Jacob is using as a pillow is the stone that the builders have rejected for their protection. Let's continue to walk through our passage, verse 12. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, dreaming is normal. Everybody has dreams. In fact, psychologists say you dream multiple times without even knowing it throughout the night. So dreams are normal, but divinely inspired dreams are not normal. They're extraordinary, special. So what happens in this dream is divine revelation. The first clue to revelation is the word behold. We'll see that several times in our passage. Behold, this is an eye-opening word that is to catch our attention to something special. Something special is happening. Now you find a description of what Jacob sees in his dream, much like the prophet Ezekiel and the apostle John. He sees heaven. He is looking into heaven. Before he sees glory, though, before he sees heaven, he sees this connection between earth and heaven. And most of our English translations translate this word ladder. Ladder. Most scholars recommend a better translation as stairway. Stairway, because that's what's being described here. A stairway, like when we talked about the Tower of Babel. It was a ziggurat, a structure that had a stairway leading up to the top, much like the Egyptian pyramids or the Mexican pyramids. They have stairs leading to the very top. They were built with stairs that as you climbed each time, think of the Psalms of Ascent. They are leading up to heaven. This is the idea clearly seen here, but different. So on a ziggurat, man climbed to get to God. God never climbed down to get to man. But notice what's happening here. There's up and down motion. God is sending messengers down to heaven. In fact, that's the word there. You get the second behold. Behold, now he describes what he sees. Angels, the Hebrew word there is messengers. Messengers coming up and down from heaven to earth. This becomes true throughout the entire Bible. God continues to send his heavenly angelic messengers to earth to bring his divine revelation to man, to care. And so we see it here. In fact, there will be a better messenger that will come out of heaven, come to earth, to bring the message of God. And that messenger is about to speak in our passage. So far, all we have is description of what Jacob sees. Now, in verses 13 through 15, we see more. There's the third behold in our passage. It is seen with two amazing verbs. God stands and God speaks. Those are amazing. Don't read over that. In fact, let's focus on that. 13 and 14, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie. I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall the families, all the families of the earth, be blessed. Don't read over the fact at the beginning there that God stands up in this dream. He stands up. This standing is important, for it means he's about to do something for Jacob. And notice what he is about to do is explained by what he says. He speaks. A second important reality is seen with the fact that God speaks. For a man to have a dream is normal. But to have a dream like this, where God speaks, where you see God and he speaks, this is not normal. This is supernatural. This is extraordinary. This means Jacob is standing in a line of men like Adam and Abraham and Noah, who not only see God, but hear God. He's a prophet. This is who Jacob is, a prophet of God. He receives here divine revelation. Jacob is standing in a large company of men, but more so do we find out what God says is only assuring to Jacob. Look there. This message is clear and simple. It is reaffirming the covenant promises to Jacob. Remember, Jacob is leaving the covenant land. We're leaving the covenant community. And no matter what Isaac has said, now the fountain of this covenant, the source of this covenant, is now speaking to Jacob face to face. He's now speaking to Jacob. And this statement, God is affirming this reality. This is the best assurance one could have of salvation in God. Jacob can rest at ease knowing now that he will return to this land. And what was unsure just the morning before, as he's left his father with his dad's blessing, is no longer unsure. It is made clear. The covenant is established. The covenant that was established with Abraham, continued with Isaac, is now the covenant of Jacob. It is now his covenant as well. All the promises given to Abraham and Isaac are now Jacob's. And God affirms those. God has spoken this reaffirmation. But he is not done. He's not done talking to Jacob. This brings us further into verse 15. God speaks grace to Jacob. Here you have the fourth eye-popping word, behold. Again, pay attention. Now you see a series of gracious realities of establishing for you what it means to be in covenant with God. This next verse is key. First, when you are in covenant with God, you have God's gracious presence and protection all the time. All the time. This is seen with these words, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Jacob can enter a foreign land with confidence that God is going with him. God did not stay in Beersheba. God is going with Jacob to Haran, to Laban's house. God is with him. This is what you can call in Scripture the Emmanuel principle. You can take that in every book. It is there, God with his people all the time, everywhere. Second, verse 15, When you are in covenant with God, you can rest assured that He will take you where you need to go. He is with you. This is seen with these words, and I will bring you back to this land. I will bring you back to this land. The fear is always there. Will I make it to heaven? Am I going to heaven? Jacob's fear. Am I going to make it back to this land, this covenant land, the promised land? Am I going to make it? Am I going to be there? The answer to this question is when you are in covenant with God, you are secured. You can even say eternally secure. And you will dwell with Him for eternity. He'll make sure you get there. This is true because of the Emmanuel principle. God with us. This is seen again with this passage. These words, first spoken to Jacob, now spoken to you, in this context, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to do for you. Christian, God is with you. God is with you, even to the end of the age. He is not going to leave you. If we come to this reality, what we're coming to is a new day, a new focus, a new vision of what God is doing for His people. And this takes us into the rest of our passage, 16 through 22. The first response of God's divine presence and God's revelation. Notice what His first response is. Fear. As Proverbs 9:10 puts it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's what we see here, brothers and sisters. We see reverence to the holy things of God. Proper fear. And so as we jump into this, well, that's what we're going to see. Look at verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I didn't know it. Jacob wakes up, and it's a new day. He's not dead. It's a new day. To see God and live is grace. Because the Bible's clear, no man can see God and live. So for Jacob to be alive is an amazing thing. Be amazed by grace. That's what we see here. Notice what Jacob does. He first recognizes that this is not a generic place. This is not some ordinary lodging. In fact, it's a special place. It's a special place. He sees the covenant God has blessed this place. This is meant with the capital letters L-O-R-D in our passage. Jacob says, God is here and I did not know it. Oh, this campground and this stone was not just ordinary land and rock, but extraordinary. Which is why you'll find Jacob's response in 17. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The first part is actually a bad translation. How awesome is this place? That's not a good translation. In our culture, the word awesome is terribly misused. Terribly misused. A better translation would add, how terrible is this place? Or how terrifying is this place? That's a better translation. That's the actual word. Again, understand, no one can see God and live. Yet here Jacob stands, and he is still alive. Only by the grace of God. Jacob is afraid. This is not awesome. This is terrifying. Because he better do the right thing now. God is there. Jacob does not respond his way, or he will surely die. Understand this. For what you see here is repentance. That's what it means to fear the Lord, is to repent. That's the only wise thing to do. Jacob no longer sees this place as generic lodging, but as the house of God, the gate of heaven. Where Jacob has been sleeping is, in fact, the house of God, Bethel, where he just spent the night drooling all over a rock, is, in fact, the gate of heaven. He better get his act together now. This changes everything. So Jacob gets up, repents, and he worships. Look at verses 18 through 22. 18 and 19. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, it was previously named, the city had been Luz. It's now called Bethel. Notice Jacob sets this place apart as a sanctuary. Jacob has met God in this place. This is now the holy house of God. This place is holy. And he takes the stone which the builders of Luz had rejected, and he establishes as his pillar. Not pillow, pillar. The standing stone of his faith. This rejected stone has become Jacob's chief cornerstone of the city Bethel, the house of God. Then Jacob makes a series of statements or commitments of faith. And we notice, curiously, his worship practice here as we move 20 through 22. If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth. That's a special word. A tenth to you. Jacob makes a vow to tithe. That's a spiritual act of worship. He doesn't sing a song. He makes a vow to tithe, to give a tenth of all that he has. Think back to Abraham and Melchizedek. Jacob has just seen the heavenly Melchizedek, and he says, tenth of what I've got. I come back here, tenth of everything I've got. It's better said, not if, but when. When, God, when I return, a tenth of everything I have goes to you. This is a response out of faith. We saw repentance. Now we're seeing a faithful response, a faithful, obedient response to God's word. And it is tithing. This is a response the Christian gives when God speaks. God has delivered Jacob. Jacob repents, fear and trembling, believes, and he responds faithfully with tithing. And as we come to a close, we must bring this passage back again, full circle, back up to the top of our passage and see some beautiful things. You first understand who Jacob saw was God himself. Let's get back there again. Get back there. He saw God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, jaw-dropping. Behold, there's God at the top in heaven. He saw him, his Redeemer, Emmanuel, God with us. Jacob sees him and lives. This is why John, as he begins his gospel, points this out. Jesus points this out to Nathanael, that Nathanael, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels ascending and descending. It doesn't say stairway there. It says the Son of Man. Jesus is explaining for us this passage. We see the way to heaven, and that is Jesus. He saw Jesus. Jesus Christ is the stairway to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to heaven. He is the gate of heaven. And if you're trying to get to heaven any other way, it's steps. That's not easy. We'd rather have an elevator. We'd rather have an expressway, a highway. Well, that goes to hell. This is the narrow stairway that goes to heaven. Only few make that climb. Many are taking the interstate, but few take this. So wake up. Wake up with Jacob here. Wake up with Jacob now and see the stone which the builders have rejected have become the chief cornerstone of the city of God, the house of God, the New Jerusalem. And we see it here with this. Jesus Christ is our pillar of salvation. None other. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ's Spirit is making this all the more clear for us. You see, while He is the pillar of salvation, well, that is very true. He is our salvation. But so much more now that He has gone to the right hand. He is up there seated at the right hand of the Father. He has not left us alone, but He has graced us with His Holy Spirit that we are now moving living stones of Jesus. Okay. Not stationary, dead, but alive, living, as the Apostle Peter puts it. Living stones moving around the land, and wherever you go, you take the holy house of God with you. Every step you take is a holy step. Every place you are is holy. Every place you go, God has looked down, and He has sent His Son to redeem you. And what the world has rejected, Christ has saved. And He has redeemed you. And He has made you new. You are new in Jesus. And He is building into His living, breathing, new house, His new temple through His Son, who is the chief cornerstone, the architect of this new city. And we close with this last beautiful reality, this promise given to all who are in Jesus Christ. Jacob heard it, and we hear it too. John opens his gospel with that reality of Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the stairway to heaven. Matthew closes with this promise that even though Jesus has left us and He has gone to prepare a place for us, think about how that closes out in Matthew 28, verse 20. It closes out with this beautiful word, "Behold, I am with you always." There's the Emmanuel principle. Behold, there's that eye-opening word, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Every day is the unknown for us. Every day is a new day. Every day is a step that these living stones, you living stones, take. And Jesus Christ has not left you alone. He is with you always. What a great comfort it is to be with Christ, to be in Christ, as His living, breathing Bethel, His house, His temple. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Merciful God, we thank You for the mercy that You have given to us in Jesus Christ, our chief cornerstone, our way to heaven, our life, our everything. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we may continue to look to Jesus Christ as the sole means of our salvation, that we may continue to feed upon Him, find nourishment in Him in all that we think, say, and do. For each and every day, we have no idea what's coming. And so we need Your everywhere, all-powerful presence with us, the Emmanuel with us, by Your Spirit. We thank You that You are creating in us who we were always meant to be in Jesus Christ. And we pray that You continue to work in our hearts, in our midst, to sanctify us more and more each day. We pray now as our Lord taught us how to pray, saying,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever."